church? Worship, as in value, giving value. We're going to talk about that. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles, that's where we're going to be focusing in on today. As Pastor Phil said, we are going to be talking about what worship looks like in the community context. We're in this series called Covenant Community, and we're talking about all things community-related, understanding that you and I have been bound to God by the covenant that He shed for us, but through His blood and sealed for us. And so not only are we bound to Him, but we're also bound to each other. And so what does that look like? And this whole series has been a series about looking at who are we and why are we the people of God? And it's very significant that we are the people of God. You are the church. Amen? You have been called and invited by name into His purposes, and that is an awesome thing. That is an awesome, awesome thing. We're going to talk about worship today, which is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. I love to worship God, and I hope that today each and every one of you will be free and released into a new growth in your worship to the Lord, both privately and publicly. Amen? Because that's what worship is meant to be. In 1 Chronicles 16, this chapter that we're going to read, we're going to read a large chunk of this chapter. Just to put it in context, what has happened is the Ark of the Covenant has returned back to the city of David. And the community of God, the people of God, are exuberant. They are in jubilation. They're singing, there's dancing, they're celebrating. It is exciting. The presence of God, which was in the Ark of the Covenant, was now back in their presence. It was now in their midst. And they are excited, and they're just like, yes, this is awesome. It happened, you know? And so King David writes this song of thanksgiving. And what we learn a lot about what worship looks like in a corporate context such as this. When the community of God gathers together, what takes place and why is it important? Those are the kind of things that we're going to be looking at this morning. So starting in verse 7 of chapter 16, it says this. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him. Yes, sing praises. Tell everyone about His wondrous deeds. Exult in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength, and continually seek Him. Scroll down to verse 23. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things that He has done. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations, they're just mere idols. But the Lord, He made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and joy fill His dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory that He deserves, and bring your offering when you come into His presence. Worship the Lord in all His holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before Him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. So let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations that the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Amen. 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 There's a lot going on in there, huh? There's a lot going on in there. And we learn a lot about what is our role as the community of God. And when we come together and we gather together like this corporately to worship God, we see throughout Scripture that the community of God is continuously exhorted to come together like this, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They were exhorted to come together and to gather in the community of God, just like we're doing right now, for the purpose of ascribing worth to God. To recognize who God is and what He has done. And not only to recognize it, but to give him the glory, to give him the praise that due his name. That's why we gather together every Sunday. That's why we gather together in life groups throughout the week. It's to give God the glory and ascribe worth for who he is and what he's done. Worship is the response of a community. It is the response from the community of people that says, God, you are the one that I am going to honor. You are the one that we honor because there's nobody like you. There will never be anyone like you. You alone are worthy. It is this recognition of understanding who he is and our response as the people of God to say, to recognize that and to make that known. That's what's going on in this chapter here. And so when we come together as a community of God, we're coming together, worshiping together because we recognize that he is who he is to all of us. And we worship him together. We gather together on Sundays and throughout the week. We come together and we give him praise and we give him honor and we give him glory and we sing and we shout to him and we celebrate his name because he has done the same for you as he's done for me. He has joined us and bound us together in this beautiful covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's for you and it's for me. And so who God is, he's kind, he's just, he's merciful, he's righteous, he's holy, and the list goes on and on and on. He is that to you as he is to me. And so when we come together, we're coming together in like-mindedness and like-heartedness and like spirit, in one spirit, and saying, you are the one that we honor today because you are who you are to all of us together. You are who you are, and you've been who you've been, and you're going to do what you're going to do to all of us and for all of us. And so worship becomes this response of the people of God in exuberation, in adoration, in fear, and awe, and giving God the glory and the honor that is due his name. What? Who can do what God can do? Nobody can do what God can do. Who can take two cells and create a baby? Who can speak from his mouth and the universe comes into existence? Who can speak this universe into existence and have every star and planet fixed perfectly in balance? Only God. Only God. And this is why we give him praise. This is why we worship him, because of who he is and what he has done. It is our response to who he is and to what he's done. That word worship comes from the word worship. As Pastor Phil was saying, worship. It means to attribute the worth of God. To give to God the worth that he deserves. To be before him in awe and adoration and fear because he deserves it. He is the only king forever. He is the only true living God. He stands alone in his greatness. Nobody can match with him. He is God, and he deserves the praise of his people. That's what worship is. And so we're looking at this and saying, okay, if we are the community of God, this is our response. And so when we gather together, we respond with singing, we respond with clapping, we respond with our voices and instruments, because this is one context of worship. This is what we have. This is what we have. I always think that clapping is the most silly thing in the world. It's just my hands smacking each other. And it's just, to me, it's just this goofy sound that we can all make, but it's what we have, so we give it to him. Amen? God is worthy of all that you are. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of all the honor and glory and adoration and fear. That's what worship means. It means to give God a tribute worth of God, a tribute to him, to give him the worth that he deserves. The word also, it entails, it includes our actions and our attitudes. That our actions and our attitudes are to be in alignment with this as well, where we worship God and we honor him, his worthiness, with our actions and our attitudes. That's what the definition of this word means. It's to give him your actions and to give him your attitudes, to worship God, to honor him, his worthiness, with the way you live your life. Your actions and your attitudes worshiping God. And so this is where worship takes on a different kind of context, where it's not just singing, it's not just voices singing and instruments playing and singing songs to Him and lifting hands to Him, but worship is this dimension that is supposed to be an entire part of who you are. It's living a life of worship. One of the beautiful things about worship is that to be a worshiper is it takes the attention off of us and it puts it back on God. It's remembering His great deeds, His awesome works. It's remembering who He has been to you and who He will always be to you. And saying, God, I'm going to honor Your worthiness because no one else is worthy. I'm going to honor You with my attitudes. I'm going to honor You with my actions, my whole life. God, I'm going to live as a worshiper before You. It's like when if for example you've had a really hard week and somebody has said something to you and your attitude is just, you know, we all know what happens when somebody says something to you or about you or something and it wrecks your week, doesn't it? It'll just turn your whole week upside down. But what a life of a worshiper of a community of God means that my attitude is going to be in alignment with who He is. And so say everything in your life is crumbling, right? You're losing your job. The people at work are stabbing you in the back. It's just, everything's a mess. God is still who He says He is. He is righteous. He is perfectly just. He is holy. He is kind. He is compassionate. He is faithful. He is gracious. And so to worship God with our life means that my attitude is now going to worship Him. I don't care what circumstances are going on in my life. You, God, deserve all of my life. You deserve my attitudes. You deserve my actions. You deserve my song. You deserve my hands smacking each other. You deserve all of me, my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. God, You are the only one that's worthy because You are amazing. And so here is all of me. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through, a worshiper, a life is your identity. You are now a worshiper of God. And so our attitudes and our actions must be in alignment behind the scenes. We must be living lives of worship behind the scenes. And there's a reason for that, because I believe that when we come together corporately, we bring our personal worship of God behind the scenes and we combine them together. And things take place. Things take place. First and foremost, worship is personal. It's the way we live our lives. It's recognizing His worth and offering Him ourselves fully to bring Him the glory that He deserves. David says, give to the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His presence. And so first and foremost, the responsibility of every worshiper is to minister to God unto yourself. Behind the scenes, giving God and attributing worth to God for who He is and what He has done. Who He's been in your life and what He has done in your life and what He's continued to do in your life. It's not just the responsibility of the pastor. It's not the responsibility of any of the pastors or leaders. It's not the responsibility of the worship leader. But our responsibility is for each person here to offer up individual sacrifices of praise unto the Lord. This is what God has called us to do. This is what we're exhorted to do throughout the Old Testament and through the New Testament. You see, our faith and worship was never intended to remain private. Faith and worship was never intended just to remain private. There is a personal component to it that we just talked about, where you're living your life behind the scenes, and that's what integrity is, doing the right thing when nobody else is watching and giving the Lord the integrity of your life, right? And saying, okay, God, I'm going to worship You with my actions and my attitudes. Here's the personal aspect of worship, but it is not meant to stay private. We see all throughout Scripture that worship and faith is something that is to be demonstrated. It's supposed to be manifested. It's supposed to be seen by others. And so that's why throughout Scripture we see the body of Christ, the community of God, gathering together, combining their worship together and bringing it to God and offering it as a sacrifice unto Him together as His people. It is meant to be combined with others in the community of God. And we see throughout Scripture that the fullness of worship is experienced. We see it all throughout Scripture, that when the fullness of worshiping God is experienced among the people in the community of God, is when they take their personal worship of God, their personal relationship with God, and they gather together and they combine it with this deep sense of belonging to one another, and they offer that praise and that worship and that glory and that worth to Him together. We see it all throughout Scripture that you find, you experience the fullness of worship when we do it together. Something takes place when we gather together in worship. That's why we come here, to give glory to God. And the word glory there means to manifest it to God, to manifest our praise and our worship and our worth unto Him, to let it be seen, demonstrated. And so I was thinking, you know, how can I illustrate this what takes place during worship when we're together? How we all know the phrase home court advantage, right? We all have a basic understanding of this. And I kind of want to use this as an illustration of what takes place when we come together like this in worship, when the community of God gathers together for worship. For a basketball team that is having trouble scoring points or playing really well, right? What happens? The fans in the crowd begin to cheer them on. And they begin to get behind them and they roar, and the energy in the room intensifies, and all of a sudden the players on the court, they feel something, and something is sparked within them, and there's this newfound strength that they didn't find before to push on. And all of a sudden, this energy enables them to play better than before. All of a sudden, this energy enables them to push past the opposition. You with me? And the fans in the stands, they're not physically going through what the players on the court are going through. They're not the ones sweating it out, exerting all that energy. But they are joining them in spirit, aren't they? They're joining them in spirit and in a way that gives the team a sense of power that they didn't have before. And all of a sudden the team amps it up. And they have this newfound strength appears out of nowhere. That's home court advantage. And in a way, this is what takes place when we worship together. When we come together as the community of God, gathering together like this and throughout the week together, this is what takes place when we worship together corporately. That worshiping alongside of each other enables us to continue on towards the goal that we are all headed towards together. This is not an individual race. This is a corporate community race that we're all running together. And when we gather together and we worship alongside of each other, there's this newfound strength and newfound refreshing that takes place for each of us to leave this place and go about the business that God has given us and to live our lives, right? I can't tell you how many times I have come into this church and watched you all worship. There doesn't bring much more joy than to watch you all worship. I'm telling you, the worship team talks about this often. It brings them joy. They feed off of what you guys are worshiping. You know, it's this really cool thing. And you might not see it, but as I sit up here, I don't get to see you all worship as much as I did when I used to lead worship. But I'll turn my head and I'll watch you all for just a brief minute. Not to be creepy or anything. I don't want you guys thinking I'm like eyeing you up or anything like that. But I simply look at you and I take joy in the fact when you guys are worshiping and you're lifting your voices and you're lifting your hands and you're giving God the glory and the worth that He deserves, it renews my strength. I'm remembered of God's promises in my life when I watch you all worship, especially when you're going through the hardest of hard times. And the circumstances in your life are just brutal, and I know that they're brutal, and there's very few people in this church that might know that you're brutal, but when you're sitting there and you come in here and you worship God in the midst of your circumstances and the storms of your life, man, I can't tell you what that does for me. And what it does for the other people around here, that's home court advantage. That's home court advantage. That's what takes place when we worship God together. Your strength is renewed. The promises of God are renewed. Your hope is restored. You're refreshed. So what is to be our approach to worship when we come? And we look at this chapter in 1 Chronicles and we're like, okay, how should we approach worship? And one of the things that stands out more than anything else for me when I was reading this is this biblical perspective of corporate worship is not about what am I going to get out of this? How are my needs going to be met by worshiping God? But instead, what we see here in this chapter and all throughout the Psalms and everywhere else that they're worshiping God throughout the Bible is that the people, the community of God, came ready to bring an offering to Him. They came ready to bring something to Him and to serve alongside of each other in the worship of God. When we come together as the community in His presence, we ought not to be coming looking for something of a handout of what am I going to get out of this morning, but God, what am I going to offer you today? What can I offer you today, God? The entire aspect of worship is to look Godward. Not me word, but Godward, to ascribe worth and to attribute worth to Him for who He is and what He's done. And so this is our attitude. It's an attitude that we should all be coming into here on Sunday mornings with. An attitude of what am I going to give to you, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I minister to you, Lord? How can I offer something of myself more to you today? Not what am I going to get out of it today? What am I going to get out of this service today? And this is where participation in worship is something for all of us. We see it in the community of God that everyone participates in worship. Everyone participates in worship. And here's why we all participate in worship. It's because when we sing these songs of what God has done, and we remember who He is, and we remember the acts of the great, wonderful deeds that He has done, we have to understand that we are presently standing in the midst of who He is at that very moment. We are actively standing presently in 2017 in the actions of His glorious work. Does that make sense? Did I explain that? We are presently in 2017 living out who God is and what He has done. And so that's why we come together. We're all participating. This is not something that was meant for the old covenant and for the early church. This is something that is meant for the church today, whatever today's date is, July 3rd of 2017, that we, the people of God in Delaware Valley, in Delaware County, gather together to worship the living God, to ascribe to Him the worth that He deserves because we are living presently in the fact that He is who He says He is. And He has done what He says He's going to do. And He will always do what He's going to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so there's this understanding that when we come together corporately for worship, that we come to participate. We come to participate and contribute on this basis. In 1 Chronicles, in verse 4 of the chapter that we're reading, I don't have it up there, but verse 4 of 1 Chronicles 16 says this. Then David appointed the following Levites, who were worshipers, who were the tribe of worshipers, and he appointed the following Levites to lead the people in worship before the ark of the Lord. And this is what their responsibility was. Ready? To invoke His blessings, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord. To invoke His blessings, to call upon His name, to give Him thanks, and to give Him praise to the Lord. This was the responsibility of the worshipers, the ministers of the old covenant. Now here's where this takes a whole new turn. You see, Scripture tells us that all of us who have been given salvation through Jesus Christ are now been made ministers of the new covenant. Each and every one of you are now a minister of the new covenant. That word minister means to assist and to serve. To assist and to serve. Each and every one of you, as a minister of the new covenant, has this beautiful job and responsibility to assist and to serve in what? Calling upon the name of God, giving thanks to Him, and giving praise to Him, commemorating Him. When we gather together, you assist in dwelling upon Him and bringing remembrance to His name of the good works that He's done and that He's always going to do. All of us contributing corporately and participating in worship. It's not something that we sit back and wait for the pastor to spark us up or the worship leader to spark us up, but a worshiper of God, a minister of a new covenant, comes ready, comes prepared to participate and contribute into worship in any capacity to assist and to serve in the worshiping of God. All of us have this responsibility to come ready to participate, intent upon contributing. We come ready and prepared to contribute. I want to encourage you next Sunday, come ready and prepared to contribute. And this is why it is so important for each of us to live a life of worship to God behind the scenes. This is why it's essential for all of us to live a life that honors Him for how worthy He is with the way we live our lives, with our actions and our attitudes. It's because we've all been appointed to participate and contribute to and assist in this corporate worship together. We've all been appointed. You've been appointed. I've been appointed. Can I tell you this morning that the person sitting next to you, to your left or to your right, your brother, your sister in Christ, they need you to be worshiping God behind the scenes. And they need you to be worshiping God publicly. This community that surrounds this building and surrounds your houses and the community that God has called us to impact need you and I to be worshiping God behind the scenes. And they need us to be worshiping publicly. You need me and the other leaders of this church to be worshiping God behind the scenes and publicly. We need you to be worshiping God behind the scenes and publicly. Do you see how it's a community thing here? That we've all been bound together by the blood of Jesus. That we all participate in this. We all contribute in this. It is that you have been appointed as a minister of the new covenant. Could I invite the worship team on up? Again, because what we're going to do is we're going to respond. Amen? Amen? That's what worship is. It is the response of the community to how awesome, how worthy He is for who He is and what He has done. Who is He? Who is this God? Ready? Let me just list off some things. He is faithful. He is true. He is just. He is perfectly righteous. He's honest. He's merciful. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's strong. He's mighty. He's the defender of the weak, the lifter of heads, the giver of life, the healer of the sick. He's the close one to the brokenhearted, the forgiver of sins. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's holy. He's mighty. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the wonderful Counselor. And the list just goes on and on and on. What a beautiful thing it was when we started worship by listing off and everybody was calling it to attention and remembering who God was to them. What has He done? He's delivered us from the enemy's grasp. He's redeemed and restored our lives. He's set us free from guilt and condemnation, and He has poured out eternal blessings on your life. He's committed Himself to us, promising never to leave us or forsake us. He's given us all of Himself, made all of Himself available to you and I. He's made us holy in His sight, and He's made us whole. And so on that basis, can we stand together? Because we're going to respond as the community of God. to who he is and what he has done.